Let's just pray and prepare our hearts now for the word of the Lord. Father, we just ask for your help, for your blessing upon this part of the service. I ask, Father, that the Holy Spirit would just take the word of the living God and help us to see, help us to understand, Lord, that it would take root in our heart and bring forth a great harvest in our lives to your glory and honor. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We're in a series right now just called Real Church. You know, I mentioned a few weeks ago that in the religious culture of the day that, well, God can be whoever you want him to be. You just kind of make up your own God. But the scripture tells us who God really is and what he's really like. And there's a similar attitude that's evident about the church. A lot of people think that the church is just kind of whatever you want to make it up to be. You can get a handful of people together, and regardless of what they believe or what they do, you can call it a church. And even by the laws of our land, it's kind of that way. But this series is about what the scripture says about the church. Jesus was the first to mention the church in the scripture. In Matthew 16, 18, he said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." That verse tells us that it is Jesus ultimately who is building his church, and that nothing is going to stop it. Last week, we talked about Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Just before Jesus left this earth, he told his disciples to go into all the world and make disciples. He sent his church on a mission that the church is still fulfilling today. Today I want to share a message with you about the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. And I just want to say, as I said at the beginning, we want to see what the scripture says about the body of Christ. And in so doing, we want to tear down strongholds of imagination. In other words, things in our thinking, attitudes of the day that don't line up with the scripture. I tell you, the truth of scripture sets free. And we need to think about the church the way the scripture talks about the church. Now here is what the scripture tells us about Jesus and his church. Verse 22, it says, "And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." Such powerful words that are spoken here. The church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills everything in every way. You see, Jesus is not on a cross today, and he's not in a tomb today. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He is alive and well. But know this, he is also alive and well in the earth today. All around the world, his church, his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all, I'm telling you, Jesus is alive and well in the church. He's moving and working in the world today. People are still being healed, being set free, lives being changed because Jesus is working through his body, the church. There is the story of a courtyard of a little church in a French village where there once was a beautiful marble statue of Jesus with his hands outstretched. And during World War II, a bomb struck nearby and it broke it into many pieces. Later, the citizens of that village all got together and they decided that they would repair it in some way, and to the best of their ability, they put it back together, and even though it had many scars, it was still beautiful. But they were never able to find the hands for the statue. And one of them said very sadly, "A Christ with no hands is no Christ at all." But then someone else had an inspiration, and they put a plaque at the base of the statue that said, "I have no hands but your hands." A few years later, someone saw that inscription, and they wrote the following lines: "I have no hands but your hands to do my work today. I have no feet but your feet to lead men on the way. I have no tongue but your tongue to tell men how I died. I have no help but your help to bring men to God's side." And certainly that is the way it is, that God is using the church. It is through Christ that He is reconciling the world to Himself. But we are Christ's ambassadors. We carry His message to the world. We are His hands reaching out to hurting people. We are His feet going to where they are. We are His voice telling them the good news that God loves them, that Jesus has died for their sins so they could be close to God. We are the vessels, His chosen vessels of His power, His life to flow through to a lost and dying world. I'm telling you, we are the body of Christ. Not individually, but collectively, we are the body of Christ. You know, the world we live in, the time we live in, I think especially in America, there is this attitude that is pushed of independence, that we don't need anything or anybody else. And I want you to know that that is not scriptural. And I'm going to tell you very plainly from the Word of God today that we need the rest of the body of Christ. You will never be all that God wants you to be. You will never accomplish all that God wants you to accomplish apart from the body of Christ, because you are not the whole. You are a part of something much bigger than yourself. Each one of us is very important to the body of Christ. Without each one, we are somewhat incomplete and less effective at reaching the world. We need each other. Doesn't matter if you're teaching a preschool class. You might think, "Oh, well, that's not that important." You don't know. That little stinker might be the next world evangelist. You're just a greeter, you say. You know, so often it is the warm smile of a friendly greeter that convinces somebody to come back to church. And I can tell you this, when they're not there, when that friendly smile is not there, oftentimes people choose not to come back. You see, we all have a part in what God is doing in building His church and reaching people. It's all important. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 this morning, and we're going to be here for a while. It is amazing. There are so many powerful truths in this one passage of Scripture. And so if you have your Bible, you might just turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'm going to share this from the NIV today because it just reads a little simpler and easier. It says, "Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body." You know, you might feel out of place if you are an eye and you look around and you just see a bunch of toes. And listen, sometimes we look around and we see people that are different from us. And here's a worldly attitude that's snuck its way into the church. Well, if there's a lot of people that are different from me, if I don't feel like I fit, well, I just need to go down the road and find me a church where there's a bunch of people just like me. But you see, the Scripture makes it very plain that we're not all one part. There are many parts. There's supposed to be diversity. There's supposed to be all different kinds of people. You see, he has called us from every generation, from every ethnic group, from every background. He has brought together a people for himself. And that's the way that it's supposed to be. So we need to guard against those kinds of worldly attitudes, carnal attitudes. It's such an attitude of just wanting to be around people like me. People that agree with us, people that we have a lot of things in common with, and people that have the same likes and dislikes. That kind of attitude doesn't belong in the body of Christ. Besides, we all agree that Jesus is Lord. And we have a lot in common. We've all been saved by the same grace, washed in the same blood, and have the same Father. And we all like Jesus, and we all dislike the devil. So, church, we need to see that God has put us all together as a church for a reason. And don't let the enemy divide you. Don't let him cause you to feel independent or isolated. No, we should feel a part of the body of Christ and what God is doing in the world today. In verse 17, he says, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? You see, it is that diversity that makes us strong. We don't need a bunch of people that are all just alike. Listen, I can assure you, you don't need two of me, and I'm going to tell you the truth, we don't want two of some of you either. That's right. But we need the one of you. You see, that diversity is what makes the body of Christ so powerful, so effective. No, we need to be careful not to try to get everybody to conform to be just like us. No, he has a reason and a purpose for having so many different kinds of people in the body of Christ. Sometimes we think that one part is more important than another part, but the truth is that all of the parts of the body are equally important. And we are weakened and less effective without those parts. See, the body is like a giant puzzle. Have you ever put together a big puzzle and you get down near the end and you find some pieces are missing? How frustrating. Well, I'm glad the Lord is working with the box. You know what I'm saying? He's got the picture. And he knows where all the pieces go, and he places all of the pieces of the body of Christ in the body where they're supposed to be. I've had the occasion where I found a few pieces of a puzzle, just one or two, in a drawer or in an old box of junk somewhere. How sad. Those pieces of the puzzle never found their place. And you know what? That's the way it is in the body of Christ. You still belong to Jesus. You don't cease to be a part of the body just because you say you're not. But all he wants is to find our place in the body of Christ and fulfill our call, our function, what he wants us to do. God knows what he's doing. He sees the big picture. And we need to understand that he's placed the parts of the body the way they're supposed to be. The next verse, verse 18, it says, in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. We need to be thankful for each other, for each part of the body and the way that they serve. Verse 19, if they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. It takes all kinds. You know, first of all, I just want to say sometimes churches focus on just one thing. It just becomes about one thing. And they may be really good at that one thing, but I want to tell you, God wants us to be where we're good at a lot of things. He wants us to be functioning in a lot of areas of ministry and hitting on all cylinders. But also, sometimes in the body of Christ, carnal people, well, they only want to be around people just like them. And immature baby Christians only want to talk, be around people that talk and think and dress like they do. Takes all kinds in the body of Christ. Young and old, intellectual, not so intellectual, educated and uneducated, white collar, blue collar, redneck, we need them all. That's what makes us stronger. And you see, it is a worldly mindset that wants to just focus in on one people group. No, God wants all of them. I think the generation gap is a masterful deception of Satan to weaken the church. Some older people would just soon never be around young people with their weird styles and loud music, and some young people just don't really have any use for older people. They don't acknowledge the strength or the blessing of the other. Real church is not that way. No, a church without young people is missing something. And you see, that's kind of a popular thing to say in the church world today. Well, I'm going to tell you the truth. A church without older people is also missing something. Yes, we need the energy, the passion of youth. We also need the wisdom and the experience of an older generation that needs to be passed down to young people. It takes both. That's real church. That's the way it's supposed to be. People from all walks of life that come together as a body of believers. And we love one another, and we're doing the Lord's work, doing what God wants, trying to accomplish what He wants us to do. That's real church. We need everybody. Verse 21 says, "The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you." And there it is very plainly that the Scripture says, you can't say to another part of the body, I don't need you. And let me just make sure we get this now. It's not just about it coming out of your mouth. You can't have that attitude. It's wrong to have the attitude that I don't need them, just me and Jesus. Jesus never says that. He says He's building His church, and we're to love one another. You know, even the Apostle Paul, who seemed to be so strong, so disciplined, so determined. I mean, they beat this guy. They whipped him over and over. They stoned him. And he'd just get up and walk off and keep going. A man's man. Very strong. Strong-willed, determined. And yet many times in Scripture, He talks about how He needs others. Just a couple of examples in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He tells Timothy, he says, "Be diligent to come quickly and bring Mark with you also." Listen, he acknowledged his need in the ministry for help, for others to work with him. He asked for prayer very plainly and boldly in Ephesians 6:19. He said, "Pray for me that I will boldly make known the mystery of the gospel." He knew that he couldn't do it all by himself. And he needed others to serve and work with him. Now, I know that there's probably some Christians today that think they're stronger than the Apostle Paul, but they're just deceived, I can assure you. We all need each other. And anybody who has that mindset, I don't need them, I don't need the church, I'm going to tell you, there's a whole lot of that in the world today, but they are so deceived. Satan loves to isolate people. Jesus wants to bring his body together. We're so much stronger together, so much more effective together. One pastor went to visit a man who no longer attended church, and it was winter, and he had a fire in the fireplace. And as they sat there and talked, the man began to tell the pastor how that he could be just as good a Christian without ever going to church, that he didn't need to go to church. The pastor didn't respond, but he got up and he went over to the fire and he moved one coal away from the rest of the fire. And in just a few minutes, it began to go out. It wasn't long until it smoldered and went completely out. The pastor just looked at the man and the man said, "I think I'm going to come next Sunday." And I just got to tell you that we need the strength from one another. If you think that you don't, you need to allow God to deal with your pride, because it will head you for destruction. We need sometimes, listen, all of us, sometimes we get weak, sometimes we get weary, sometimes our fire begins to burn a little dim, and you get around some people that are on fire and it'll help you get going again. You see, that's the way it's supposed to be in the body of Christ, that we help one another along the way. And all of us need that. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. And let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Isn't it amazing how that even in the New Testament times, they were dealing with this issue? There were those who gave up meeting together. He says, do not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. I'll remind you that it was Jesus' custom to be in the Lord's house on the Lord's day. Don't give up meeting together. You say, "Well, I haven't given it up. I go at least once a month or every other month." He says, encourage one another daily. You see, it is more even than coming to worship. It is that we need to have relationships. We need to have a closeness with other believers, where every day we're around other Christians, where we can encourage one another and lift each other up. We all need to be challenged at times to fulfill God's call on our life, and we all need encouragement at times. All of us have a part in the body of Christ. He has placed each one of us in the body for a reason. Each one adds to the whole. There may be some that think they are of no value, good for nothing. Just don't know how the Lord might use you. And we need to be careful about being judgmental of others and thinking, I don't know how God could use them. I distinctly remember one day when a man was speaking and I didn't like the man. And I thought to myself, God's not going to use that man. And in that moment, I knew the Lord spoke to me and said, I can use anybody. I used a donkey one time, and I can use even you. It's a true story. And I've never forgotten. It's about 25 years ago. But I've never forgotten. God can use anybody that he wants. Pastored a church one time I've been there about 5 years, and there was a family that came to the church, a new family, and they were very friendly, very outgoing, and I guess some thought that they were not that spiritual. There were some conflicts and some things that happened, and some of the people in the church didn't want this family to be there. But in the first six months that that family was there, they invited more people to church, brought more people to church than the rest of that small congregation had brought in the previous 5 years. But some spiritual people didn't want them there. So I get a call from my presbyter. He says, "Hey, I've been hearing some things going on. What's going on down there?" I said, "Well, sir, tonight I'm going to baptize 8 people." Now, in a small church, that's a big deal, by the way. And I asked him, I said, "Sir, when's the last time you baptized 8 people?" He said, "Well, it's been a long time." That was the end of that conversation. Those 8 people were there because of that family. And I'm just telling you, you don't know who God may use. And you might think, "Oh, it's no big deal." I want to tell you something. Somebody that's bringing that many people to church, listen, I tip my hat to them. It's not all about the preacher. It's not all about who's up in front, what you see up here. No, many times it is the people doing the everyday things in the body of Christ, those little things that are behind the scenes that go unnoticed maybe, but that's where the real strength is. It's all of us together. It's this deception in the time we live in where it's about a personality or it's about one person's gifting. That's not the way the body of Christ is supposed to function. It is all of us working together. And oh, how we need to appreciate one another and realize that all of us are important. So I'm going to say very plainly this morning, we need you. The church needs you. He says you can't say to any other part, "I don't need you." We need you. The pastor needs you. And if you're new here, well, we want you here. We want you to become a part of this body, find your place in this body. Verse 22, he says, "On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. I found that to be true. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it." You see, every part is important, so we need to get rid of that mentality that if someone is not up front, they're not really important. That's just not true. Here's another worldly attitude that's snuck its way in the church. 2 Corinthians 10:12 says, "They measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves among themselves. They are not wise." People are always comparing. Comparing preachers, comparing worship, comparing people. And we compare gifts. Well, that one, that's more important than that. It's unwise to compare. It is a form of pride and judgment, and it's not wise to compare. No, you just need to leave that in the hands of God and let God use you. Let God use your brother and sister in Christ the way that He wants to, and leave off the comparing. You know, we primarily pick a watch for the way it looks. Now, some people maybe pick them for the brand. I don't know. But let me tell you, it doesn't matter how pretty your watch might be. It has all these little parts inside. And if one of those little parts is missing, that watch won't work no matter how pretty it is. And you see, that's the way the body of Christ is. We need all those things that are going on behind the scenes. I can tell you that as a preacher, I'm a little bullheaded. I mean, I preached to teenagers for 15 years. And I preached in all kinds of situations and with a mic and without. And if the sound system quits working, I'm just going to keep right on preaching. You're going to see how loud I can be. But I know that if there's a baby crying real loud, it's going to be hard for some people to receive. So I thank God for our nursery workers, and I thank them. Any of you that are putting your children in the nursery, oh, thank them for what they do, because I'm telling you, they're on the front lines. They're doing a job that some of us, well, we're just not called to do, amen? I'm just saying, it's those things behind the scenes. It's the work of the church, the work of the ministry. It has to be done for the ministry of the church to really be effective. All of those kinds of things matter. Can't have the attitude that some are more important than others. It's all of us together that make it effective. Not long after the IQ test was developed, there were studies that were conducted to find out how different groups of people scored on the test as groups. So they administered the test to men and women, to young and old, to rich and poor, and many different ethnic groups as well. Eventually, the test was given to a group of Hopi Indians. And when the Hopi received the test, they immediately started asking one another questions and discussing the test. Well, of course, the instructors giving the test said, hey, you can't do that. You have to do the test on your own. Well, this offended the Hopi Indians. In fact, they refused to take the test. They said, it is not important that I am smarter than my brother or that my brother is smarter than me. It's only important what we can do together. Now, why can't the body of Christ get that? It's not about comparing who can do this and they're better. No, it is about what all of us together can do, what all of us together can accomplish. That's the only thing that matters in the body. It's not about an individual. Pride, individualism, and independence. These things are looked upon as great qualities in our culture. But in the body of Christ, pride and individualism and independence cause division and keep us from functioning as a body. Verse 25 and 26, he said, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. There's just no room for pride for us to think that one part is more important than another. We should have equal concern. And when one of us is hurting, we all hurt. You know, sometimes someone who is a part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ goes through a painful time, a battle in their life, and nobody responds. And the reason is they didn't have the closeness and relationships with people. Many times, the rest of the body doesn't even know what's going on with that person. But when we know that someone is hurting, the body of Christ should all hurt with them. You know, if you get poked in the eye, or if you stump your toe real hard, your whole body's going to react. We suffer with it. And so we care for one another. We bear one another's burdens when someone is hurt. And then he says, when one is honored, the whole body rejoices with them. You see, there should never be jealousy, envy in the body of Christ. But we rejoice when somebody is blessed. We're glad for them. We're happy for them. Verse 27, he says, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. That is, you, plural, y'all are the body of Christ. It's all of us together. And then it's you, singular, individually. You are all part of this body. Every born-again believer needs to find their place in the body of Christ and where God wants to use them. We're going to leave that passage for a minute and jump over to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. It says that it was He, Jesus, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people or equip God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. We know Jesus is building his church. Well, this is how he's doing it. He's using his people to do it. God's people are prepared for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Everyone has a work of service to fulfill. There's something that the Lord wants you to do that will help build the body of Christ. And I thank God for all of you that are serving. Many of you put in hours and hours. I appreciate so much our ushers, our greeters, our nursery workers, our children and youth workers, our guest service people, our sound people, our musicians and singers, our security team, so many others, can't name them all. And those who maybe you don't have a particular function, you know, an official function in the church here, but you love people and you're being used of God, and out in the community, you're sharing your faith and inviting people to church. I'm telling you, all of us have a place in the body, a function, a service that we are to fulfill. It's works of service. I know work is a four-letter word, and it's not a popular word in our society. Most people are not looking for more work. They're looking for less work, right? But many times there is work involved in ministry. But I can tell you this, that work has such a great joy when it impacts lives and it makes a difference in eternity. Then work is fun. When you know that God is using your efforts for eternity, there's such joy in that. He said, works of service. Whatever we do for God is serving. God doesn't need any big shots. He just uses servants. Jesus washed the feet of the disciples, and then he said, you go and you do likewise. And we need to be careful to ever think that something is beneath us, but be willing to serve. At the end of the verse, verse 12, he said, so that the body of Christ may be built up. That's the goal. That's the end result. When we do works of service, the body of Christ is built up. Now, we know it's Jesus that's building his church, but this is how he does it. When his people do works of service, the body of Christ is built up. We need to remember that that is his agenda, to build his church. And when we get a different agenda, it just causes friction, it just causes problems. No, we need to remember the Lord's agenda is to build the body of Christ, to build his church. Verse 16 of Ephesians 4 says, from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. First, it says that it's held together by every supporting ligament. I believe that speaks to the relationships, the close connection that we should have with other believers. That if something is going on in our life, there's people that know about it. If somebody else is struggling, we know about that, and we're there to pray with them and to encourage them. And it holds the body together. Those relationships hold the body together. As a rule, if somebody doesn't find real relationships within the body of Christ, well, they don't usually make it. They somewhere along the way just decide they don't need church. So the body is held together by every supporting ligament. And then it says this, that the body builds itself up. It builds itself up. You see, it's as we do what we're supposed to do, as each part does its work, it builds itself up. But notice this also, it says, in love. That is always our motivation. It's because we love one another. It's because we love people. That's why we do what we do. However, whatever area we serve in, whatever it is that we do for God, we do it because we love God and we love people. And I got to tell you, you see, you can have all the right programs and you can do all the right things and say all the right things, but if it wasn't motivated out of love, it'll end up being fruitless. But the body grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. You have a work to do. Tradition won't build it. It's not because it's cool and trendy and seeker friendly. It's not because the music is great. No, there can be a lot of good things in a church, but what really builds the church is the body builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Many, many ways that you can be involved in ministry, but the important thing is that you're involved. Helping with children's ministry, serving as an usher, being involved in outreach, caring for the sick, intercessory prayer. You know, intercessory prayer is one of those things that it's behind the scenes, and yet it makes the difference. Oh, how we need God's help in everything we do, and we get that by prayer. Sometimes people wonder why the church doesn't do this, doesn't do that, or why we're not more effective at certain things. But you see, it takes all of us together. This is a story of four people, everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody. There was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry because it was everybody's job, and everybody thought that somebody would do it, but nobody did. It ended up that the job wasn't done, and everybody blamed somebody when actually nobody did anything. Sounds like church to me. Sometimes it just seems that way. I'm going to tell you this morning, I'm excited about the church. I am excited about what God is doing in and through His people. I'm excited about changed lives. I believe that there is a great harvest and that God is going to use His church. I believe He's going to use this church to reach a lot of people. I believe our best days are ahead and what God is doing in the earth through His church. And I encourage you, you are the body of Christ. I want you to stand with me and let's pray, and I'd like for our prayer partners to go ahead and come. Father, I just thank You that You had a plan, that You had a plan to create for Yourself a people, a church. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that this morning those old strongholds and attitudes of the world that have hindered Your church, I pray those strongholds be torn down. And I pray, Father, that we would just take another step forward by faith to step into all that You have for us. Father, that we would just see the church as it truly is, the body of Christ. I pray, Father, that we as a church will just begin to function and move, Lord, as You would have us to. I pray, Father, that truly, Lord, this would be a great harvest time for this church. Lord, as we are ready, as we are prepared for works of service, Lord, to do all that You've given us to do. I pray, Father, that You deal with hearts and that You would speak. Lord, that You would instruct, show us, Lord, what we need to do and how to do it. All in love, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you've come to this service today and you've never really made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want you to know that He loves you and he died to pay the price for your sin so that you could be close to God, so you could have a relationship with him. In just a few minutes, we're going to have prayer here at the front. And I encourage you, if you have not really made Jesus the Lord of your life, to come for prayer. He has the best kind of life for you. He wants to give you an abundant life. Some of you here this morning, you realize that you've not really been involved, not really being used, and maybe you've just kind of stood off to the side. I want to encourage you this morning to make a commitment. Make a commitment to the Lord that you want to be used by him, but also make a commitment to the body of Christ to be faithful, to serve, and to work for what the Lord is doing. However God may be dealing with you, or whatever prayer request you may have this morning, as we dismiss this morning, I want you to know you're welcome to come for prayer. So the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.